Hey man, if you got your Bible with you, they turn to Joshua chapter number 6. Hey man, I enjoyed singing. Me and Brother Eddie got to laughing. Me and Brother Eddie and King got to laughing. We're realizing that blackout works. Hey man, you erase a word from a song, you don't want to say them, when all of a sudden you can say it again. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. Y'all could never get it when we was reading it on paper. Brother Kent removed it, and now we can all, we know exactly what it is. Amen. Joshua chapter number 6. Once you find your places, if you're willing and able to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Amen. God's been good to us. I know He's been better than good to me.
Amen.
Been a whole lot better than what I ever deserved. Bible says in verse number 1 of Joshua chapter number 6, now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given thee into thy hand Jericho, and the king therefore, and the mighty man valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war. Go around about the city once. Thou shalt do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they made a long blast with the ram horns, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Let's look at verse number 20 of the same chapter. It says, so the people shouted when the priests blew with their trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Or they said, Father, Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here today. We're thankful for your love, your grace, your mercy. Father, we're thankful for Jesus, our soon returning King. Father, we ask you, Lord, to touch the message here this morning. Bless it, Father. Open each heart to it, dear Lord. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you'll just hide me behind your cross this morning, Father. They'll not see a man, but they'll see you high and lifted up. Father, we ask, Lord, that there'll be one here that's lost and undone, who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Father, today will be the day that you'll send the Holy Ghost to where they're at, Father, to put them under old Holy Ghost conviction, Father, that they too might come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Father, we just thank you, we just love you, we praise you, we care to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. What a great chapter we have here. There's so much found here. If you really, really look at this chapter, you'll find that there was an instruction given by God to Joshua. And the instruction was pretty simple. The instruction was, I need you to go and claim the city I have already given unto you. That's what he told me. He said, I have already given it to you. It is yours. You just have to go take it. But before you can take it, there's some things you have to do. They couldn't have been lazy and done this task. They had to walk around this huge wall once a day for 6 days. And on the 7th day, they had to walk around this wall 7 times. And then at the 7th time, they had to find their breath still in their lungs. And they had to blow the ram horns. The priests had to blow the ram horns. And then the people had to shout. The people had to shout, they had to praise God during that time for this miracle to occur. Not only do you find the instructions, but in this chapter you find a promise. Give me 1 second. I'm not talking over the heat this morning. We have a promise that's given here. He says in verse number 5, if you do these things, he's telling you, when you do these things, God's not saying if you do these things. He said, when you do these things. That's what he's saying here. He said, when you do these things, you'll shout, And the walls of the city shall fall down flat. And every man will be able to go straight into before him. So he's telling me, if you do these things, this is what will happen. Also in this chapter, you'll find the obedience of the children of Israel. They done exactly what God told them to do. So they went and they walked around the city six days, once a day. On the seventh day, they went, as we know, most of us know this from Sunday school. They marched around seven times. At seven times, they blew the trumpet. The people shouted. And the Bible says in verse number 20 that the walls fell flat. In verse number 20, you find an answer to a promise that's showing that God is faithful to His Word. But not only in this chapter do you find the instructions, the promise, the obedience, the God answers to His promise, showing that God is faithful, but also you find that another promise is kept in this chapter. When they entered the city of Jericho, most of you who are familiar with your Bible, in Joshua number 2, there was a promise given to a woman by the name of Rahab. They said, if you will take us in and let us down, she said, promise me that you will save me, my father, my brother, and everything in my household from dying. So this was a man's promise, if you remember. The two spies made her this promise. But because of her obedience, the Lord saw fit that it should be kept as well. So I was picturing this last night, and as I got to picturing and thinking about this, I'm watching those great walls fall flat. There was one house that was untouched.
That's right.
That's how powerful our God is. That He can destroy a whole city and leave one foundation still standing firm. You remember Joshua told those spies, go get Rahab. And Rahab just didn't stay by herself once she was gotten. She was brought in with the people of Israel. She was a Gentile. She wasn't promised any of the promises of God until the day that she allowed those spies down that wall with the scarlet cord that is woven through your Bibles. This morning I want to talk to you about some walls in each of our lives that must tumble down before God can conquer for Himself. You see, we all have walls that we've had that we've either born with, built, or we have built ourselves in our lives. And brothers and sisters, we have to conquer those by doing the things that God has instructed us to do. We have been given instructions. Everybody, a lot of times I hear that people say the Bible is an acronym for basic beliefs before leaving life or something like that. It's an acronym that states basic instructions before leaving earth. There it is. Basic instructions before leaving earth. We have our instructions. We have the things that God has given us. And I believe we have enough found in this Bible, and we have enough found written in the King James Version Bible, that we can find the blood of Jesus Christ written therein, and we can get to the other side, because this Bible, the Bible says that a man must hear the Word of God to be saved. But sometimes we like to build walls. You know, each one of us is born with the wall of sin in our life. We are engulfed by this wall. Romans chapter number 3, verses 10 through 23, I won't read them all, but we'll find that it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God, they are all gone out on their way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. He's saying, the Bible teaches us that we are sinners by nature. That this wall is built not because of what we've done in our life, but just purely fact that we were born. We are all born in sin.
Amen.
You say, well, I didn't sin when I was little. Well, I guarantee this much. You was conceived in a sin that makes you sinful. There's only one person that's ever been born that was born without sin. And that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was not born from the seed of a man, but He was born from the seed of the woman, planted into Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, we are all sinners by nature.
the Bible teaches us that sin entered into the world by the first Adam. And that when Adam partook of the knowledge of the fruit of good and evil, he opened the eyes to the all of us to know what sin is. Sin separates us from God. You see, this wall that is built up around us in sin has separated us from the presence of God. We cannot get to God. We cannot break this wall down merely ourselves. The Bible says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear you. This wall is so thick and is so massive that me and you cannot even chisel through it to get God to hear our very voices if we are lost this morning. We cannot get to Him. The veil has been ripped for us, but we still cannot get through the wall to get through the veil. Most people think that this wall of sin merely just comes down as you become a good person. That is not true, church. This wall of sin is compassed all around you, on both sides, in the front and in the back. There is no way you yourself can get past knocking this wall down. These walls are thicker than the walls of Jericho where they race chariots around. And these walls of sin are mightier and stronger than me and you could ever imagine that they are. And there's no way that a small human being such as me and you can get over these walls. We can't climb over the wall of sin and get over to the other side. We cannot go back and look behind us and try to break them and breach from behind the wall. There's no way, Brother Eddie, you can come to my wall of sin and knock it down for me. Cole, I cannot go to your wall of sin and knock it down for you. There's nobody in this room. If you look at your neighbor, you can easily say, I cannot knock down your wall of sin. I just can't do it. Because you know why? There's no chance in me and you doing that. God can't even hear what we're praying if we're lost. He doesn't see us if we're lost. This wall is so mighty that God said, I'm not even going to look beyond it. I'm not going to look in it. I don't care anything about it. And guess what? God looked at Jericho. When He looked at Jericho, He said, those walls mean nothing to me. Those walls mean absolutely nothing. I'm not looking on the inside of those walls. The only person that I see on the inside of those walls is a woman who used to be a harlot, whose name is Rahab, that I've done destroyed her walls of sin and knocked them down because of what she done. Amen. The main support of this wall is unbelief and the hardness of our hearts. We don't believe in the Bible when it tells us the only way that this wall could be knocked down is by the blood of Jesus Christ that's so powerful that it could take those walls and lay them flat immediately. A lot of people don't want to believe that if you reject Christ and turn away from Him, that God will harden your heart. But it's unbelief in our day and time that we don't think God can do what He used to do anymore, Brother Eddie. And we don't think that He can save the drunkard. We don't think that He can save the harlot. And we don't think that He can save that. That is unbelief, and unbelief is a sin. If you're not saved today, your walls are getting thicker, your heart is getting harder, and it's becoming harder and harder for you to even realize that you're being engulfed by a wall of sin. Amen. The Bible teaches us over yonder in Hebrews, while it is said, today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. It's telling you, do not delay. If God is calling on you and He wants to knock down this wall of sin in your life, allow Him to do so, or He will harden your heart. God says, if I'm telling you to do it, do it. And guess what, church? You say, well, I'm saved. I don't have a wall of sin. If you don't believe God can do what He used to do, you're rebuilding your wall on your own.
If you're not forgiving, if you're not loving, if you're not caring, you're rebuilding the wall that God has already knocked down in your life. And you're slipping back off into sin. And you're doing the things that you shouldn't be doing. And I'm not perfect this morning. I'm telling you this. And when I was studying this last night, this message meant a lot to me. And it opened my eyes to a lot of things. But I'm telling you this morning, if you do not allow God to continue knocking down the wall of sin in your life, you will build yourself back to where you cannot get out of it, and you will find yourself in trouble, and you will find yourself hardening your heart. You say, I'm saved, that can't harden my heart. That's not true, church. You can be hardened and blinded of the things of God if you keep building your wall of sin around you. It's a wall, and we can build it, and we can continue growing it. It will never be as powerful as the blood of Christ. But once the wall of salvation has, once salvation has moved in and knocked that wall down, a believer can rebuild his wall. We are rebuilding our walls, and the sad thing is, there's so much of the world in our churches, and not enough church in the world, that they can't even realize that our walls have been knocked down because we've rebuilt them, allowing such shame into our lives. We see these, I know these are imaginary walls, but so many of us talk about our family members that's been saved, and we're literally sitting back watching them rebuild their walls. Day by day, night by night, week by week, month by month, year by year, they slowly start becoming rebuilding. And you sit and you watch and you say, man, I wish I could do something. There is something that you can do. Pray to God that He will knock that wall down. Because guess what? If you're rebuilding it, you're not going to knock it down. It still takes Jesus. I still believe in coming to God, a holy God, in repentance in the name of Jesus to destroy these walls of sin. The Bible says that he that will come to God and ask Him for forgiveness, that He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse them of all unrighteousness. But you have to be willing to come to Him. Even a saved person has to be willing to come to God and ask Him for forgiveness before He will knock that wall down. Well, that wall will continue to grow and continue to be built, and we will continue to lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing because we're engulfed by four walls that we have built on our own because we love our sin too much, that we love what it does for us. And guess what? We begin to not see what God has called us to do. In other words, church, what I'm telling you is you cannot see the will of God in your life because the four walls of sin that you've built around you. And if you're lost today, your walls have never been broken down. They're constantly just being built up and up and up. But that wall of sin, it's no joking matter. You say, well, it's just a little sin. There's no little sin. Sin is sin to God. And every time you do something, every time, I tell people all the time, they take that verse over there out of 1 John out of context a lot, saying that, well, He's faithful and just to forgive me. I said, but yeah, you just ended right there. It says to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So if you're one of those today that done something wrong, you say, well, I'm going to run to God and ask Him for forgiveness, but I'm not going to change at all. I'm just going to keep living. That doesn't leave this feeling right here. It stays right here. Amen. He knows your heart. And you're just building that wall. And the wall continues to grow. And the wall continues to get thicker. And the wall continues to get broader and wider and higher and higher. As you continue to say, well, I'm serving Christ, but you don't even know the will of Christ in your life because you cannot see His will because your walls have been built up too high. They say, well, Brother Josh, how do I see, or how do I get these walls to fall flat? God's given you some basic instructions. He said, just come to me, ask in my Son's name, and I will tumble that wall back down.
Amen.
You see, I believe once you're saved, you're always saved. Let me go ahead and say that for you real quick. But you can still rebuild the walls of sin in your life.
Bible says that we battle so much. We battle the flesh that tries to destroy us and to kill us. We battle the powers of darkness, the princes of the powers of the air. We fight against the wiles of the devil on a daily basis, that darkness that consumes. We battle so many things in this life. But greater is He that is in you than that is in the world. And we have to remember that when we're living in here, Satan's able to come in and get inside of your head and tell you it's okay to do a little bit of this, it's okay to do a little bit of that, and it's okay if you do this, it's okay if you do that. You're rebuilding your wall of sin, and only God's going to knock that wall down. You cannot do it on your own. And if you're lost today, your walls are continuing to grow in sin, and you cannot knock them down on your own. You cannot get past them. You cannot get through the veil because you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He became sin who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God.
Amen. But we want to build. 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 Got to get over the wall of sin. But you can't climb over it. You cannot crawl under it. There's not a door that... There is a door that you can get out of it. But He doesn't want you to not only go through the door, which is Jesus Christ, but He wants to knock that wall down. He wants to destroy that wall. He wants to cleanse you from all of our unrighteousness. And can I tell you something today? If you're sitting in here, you have a hardened heart, and you're finding it hard to forgive somebody, and you're finding it hard to linger and allow God to use you, your wall is being built. Slowly but surely. By disobedience. You say, Brother Josh, I'm not trying to do that. That's fine. But listen to what I'm telling you. That wall of yours is being built higher and higher by the day. You know, the Bible tells us not to hold grudges. You know, the Bible says, and I'm guilty of it, and I know I am. I've held grudges on people, and I've done things that I shouldn't have done, and I know I'm guilty of those things, and I know I've done some things that I shouldn't have done in my life, but when I went to God and asked Him for forgiveness, I literally saw the walls in my life be shattered and knocked down flat to the ground. Not because of who I was, not because of what this no good person had done, but because of who He is and His promises to me that He would knock my wall of sin down. And guess what? If you're in here today and you say, I'm not living right, I'm not doing right, I've been doing some things that I shouldn't have been doing, my wall's being built this morning, my wall of sin has been rebuilt, and I've been rebuilding it for years. Maybe you've been rebuilding it for a couple days. Maybe you've been rebuilding it for 40 years. I don't know, but I know a God who said that He's strong enough that He can knock down the walls of Jericho, He can knock down the walls of sin in your life, and He can get you over it, and He can carry you through it. And guess what? He'll forgive you for it. He'll forget it. He'll say it's gone from as far as east is to the west. As long as you continue serving me, as long as you continue doing what I want you to do, I will destroy that wall in your life of sin, and it shall not be rebuilt unless you rebuild it. Amen.
Oh, not only do we have the wall of sin, but we have the wall of self-righteousness. A self-righteousness is a thick wall around many of us today. Self-righteousness was Cain's trouble. How many of you remember Cain in the Bible? Cain went and gave God a sacrifice of the earth. He gave Him the vegetables from his very own garden, and God had rejected it. He thought that it was proper. He thought that he was doing the right thing. But Cain, in his self-righteousness, was wrong. He thought that he was able to please God just by merely giving a sacrifice for what God had given him. You see, a lot of us think that we are self-righteousness because of what God has given us. But we are no more self-righteous than we was the day that we was born. The Pharisees, well, their problem was self-righteousness was the Pharisees' trouble. They believed they were better than everybody else. They believed that they had it all figured out. They knew the law of God. They thought they was obeying it. They thought they was doing what was right. They thought they just because they went to church they was saved. They thought just because they paid their tithes that they were good to go. They thought just because they helped the homeless they was okay. They thought just because they done all these things that they were good. But can I tell you what the Bible says? There will be people on that great judgment morning that look at him and said, "Lord, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in thy name. We gave drink when they needed drink. We gave food when they needed food. We done everything that you told us to do." And you know what God's going to look at them? He's going to say, "You self-righteous, no good person. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." And he's going to cast them out into a lake of fire because that wall of self-righteousness is so thick. We think we done got through it after. But guess what? We never even got to it. We all think we're better than what we actually are. Israel's main trouble was they believed that they were better than everybody else. Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt with every man the measure thereof." Do you know what that is? It's telling you stop thinking so highly of yourself. Mm-hmm. You are no better. You look around this room, you're no better than anybody else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This wall of self-righteousness destroys a lot of local churches. They think they're better than what they think they're better than their other churches. They think, "Well, because I got 10,000, I'm better than the church that's got 30. No, you're no better. Because the God that blessed you is still blessing this one. That's how big He is.
Amen.
Because you don't think God can bless this church and bless the one right up in the road at the same time. You're limited in the power of God and you're self-righteous because God's not limited to what we think we can do.
Amen.
If you think just because I never messed up and I never committed that sin, I'm better than Brother Ed, then guess what? I'm wrong. I'm in my self-righteousness. I'm no better than you. We all have sin in our life, and guess what? Sin is sin regardless. But once I start thinking I'm better than you, I'm self-righteous in myself, saying I'm good. I don't have to worry about what I'm doing wrong. I only got to worry about what Brother Eddie's doing wrong. I don't have to worry about what I've done in my life and what I've messed up on. I just got to worry about everybody else's. But brothers and sisters, that's not true. We have to worry about what God is dealing with us about and stop thinking that we're good on what we are. Can I tell you something real quick? If you're sitting in here today and you think you're perfect and you think you're good and you don't think you've messed up already this morning, even though you're in the house of God, your wall of self-righteousness is pretty thick right now, because I know me and Cole almost started arguing on the way here. Don't act like y'all perfect and ain't never argued on the way to church. Self-righteous people. But the problem is that our self-righteousness, the Bible describes minding your self-righteousness, but we are all as unclean things. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags and will do fade as leaves, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Your self-righteousness is nothing, means nothing. You are like a leaf that will wither in the fall and fall. You're like the wind when it comes in and picks them up and carries them on. Guess what? It means nothing. Oh, well, I'm a good Christian. You know, I go to church every Sunday. How many times have I heard that? I pay my tithes. I do what I'm supposed to do. I obey the law of God. Well, I'm glad that you do. But I know the one that fulfilled the law.
That's right. Amen.
And I'm not perfect. And you're not perfect. If it wasn't for the perfect one who hung on that cross for us, we'd all be dead and on our way to hell right now.
Amen.
But thanks be to God that my wall of self-righteousness has crumbled. I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I need my Savior in my life, because without Him I am nothing. I know that I know because of Him that I am headed to heaven, not because of my righteousness, but I was made the righteousness for not my name's sake, not for Friendship Baptist Church's sake, not for anybody else in this world's sake, but for Christ's sake. I was made righteousness through Him, by Him. In any other way, I am nothing. Those walls of self-righteousness are so thick. There's people who think they are perfect all the time, and they're the ones out living in sin, dying, and going to hell, because guess what? They've never heard how good Jesus is. And when they did, guess what? God's been hurting their hearts so much from turning them away. They've been reprobated. That means there's no way of salvation for them. Did you know that? Once your heart gets so hardened on your own self-righteousness so much, it is so hardened that you can sit on a church pew the rest of your life and those thick walls will never fall to the ground. But when God calls you and He comes unto you and He says, you know what? You're a sinner. When the Holy Spirit came to me that day laying in that bed, He told me I was lost. I was dying, going to hell. I was dying in my sin. My self-righteousness was worthless, and I needed somebody that had fulfilled the law of God, that lived a sinless life, that walked perfectly, that never had that wall of self-righteousness, never had that wall of sin. And He said that I need you to realize that you're dying and going to hell. This is your last chance. If I leave this room today, I'll never come back. I accepted Him as my Savior, and I watched that wall of self-righteousness and sin come tumbling down.
The problem is, we all think we're okay, but you're not. You have to knock these walls down in your life. You have to get over thinking you're better than your brothers and sisters in Christ, because maybe they messed up. Maybe they done something stupid. Maybe they went back out into the world. But guess what? When they come in, if they walk through those doors at Friendship Baptist Church, those red doors on the other side, they put their door, put their hand on that handle, turn it and walk in and sit down, and you point your finger at them and you start saying, they don't belong here. You are self-righteous. You are in the wrong. Your walls are so thick, it's time for you to break them down by coming to God, because you're no better than they are.
We're a bunch of Pharisees in the church today. Can I put it that way? If Jesus would come in and preach or teach, we'd all look at Him like He was probably like, man, this dude's just running all over our feet. You know what? He'd just keep on running over. A lot of churches today are so self-righteous, they would, when he'd walk through the door, and he'd get up and he'd start talking. Just tell them, hey, you don't belong here. You got to go. You can't come back here. Oh, we would endure it. Take it. Become better than what we already are. Because He's not going to get up here and lie. This book has never lied to anybody. This book has never told nobody a lie. This book cannot lie. This book will not lie. Now human beings and their self-righteousness behind their big, thick walls can take this book, twist it, turn it, make it sound the way they want it to sound. And there are good people out there who take this book and make it say whatever they want it to say. Did you know that? Because they take everything out of context for their self-righteousness instead of what it actually says.
How many people in the news have ever heard it is what it is? They be talking about it is what it is. There's nothing we can do about it. Well, guess what? It is what it is.
That's right.
Got to take it for what it is, for who you are. If not, you're living behind a self-righteous wall that you need to get knocked down. If you get in this book and it doesn't help you at all, and you think you're perfect, and you think you know it all, then guess what? Pray that God will knock down that wall of self-righteousness so you can walk through it and have your eyes open. You have to stop living behind a wall of self-righteousness. We also have the wall of self-security. There are at least three classes I'm going to talk about here this morning on this wall of self-security. I was not expecting to spend so much time on the first wall. But we see that the three classes of persons who are adapted to see their wall of self-righteous tumble, and they didn't see it, is the first one is the professed Christian.
And this right here is, this is Judas Iscariot. Judas perhaps thought himself, he was numbered with the 12. He had a position and was active in the ministry. He was, his wall of self-security tumbled the day that he betrayed Christ. Did you know that? He said, I'm good. I'm one of the disciples. I go out here and I perform the same miracles that God, that Jesus has asked me to do. He said, I have power over the demons. He said, I have power over all of these things. I'm good. That's just like a Christian today. They said, I'm good to go to church. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I'm my name's on the board. I'm on the deacon board. Maybe there's one behind a pulpit this morning that says, hey, I'm a pastor. I'm good. I don't have to worry about nothing. But yet turns right around, sells himself out because they never had really Christ. And guess what? Judas went. Judas went and hung himself. Now he is in a place by himself waiting for the day that he will be released on this earth. But I believe he's going to be part of the, I believe he's part of Satan's Godhead. And guess what? There's nothing he can do about it. And guess what? He thought he was okay. And guess what Satan done? We'll think that we're fine on our own. But we're not. There's so many people that profess Christ and say, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. And I don't know about y'all, but when I mess up, I get put under conviction until I ask Him for forgiveness.
Amen.
And I make it right with the person that I hurt. I'm telling you this morning, if you're begging on your own self to get to heaven, if you say I gave a profession and never got Christ, you're dying and going to hell.
Amen.
Because you think you're fine on your own. But I can't even get mad at people and stay mad without begging for forgiveness once put under conviction. There have been times I've been mad at people and God ain't put me under conviction right away. But when He did put me under conviction, I felt like I could crawl up in that bed and cry like a baby. And I don't cry, church, hardly ever at all. I am not Jeremiah. I am not a weeping prophet. I'm not a prophet at all, by the way. But there are times in our lives that we would all sit and just think to where we have done something. And we thought we was justified by doing it, by our self-security. And God came to you and said, hey, I don't know what you're doing, but it was wrong that you've done that. We have to understand that we ourselves have no way to get beyond our own wall of self-security. You can't even whatsoever in this world, you can't even get beyond your own self.
Amen.
To get to heaven. That's how strong the flesh is on your body. The flesh is powerful over you. But I know somebody stronger.
That's right.
I know somebody that said, hey, when I give you life, I give you more abundance.
Amen.
When I save you, you're saved forever. When I touch you, you've been touched. Amen. I'm glad he reached his hand down and he touched me and he destroyed that wall of self-security.
Hey.
Where I thought that I was okay when I realized that I wasn't okay, that I accepted him before it was eternally too late. And I'm glad today that that wall of my self-security has been knocked down because I realized that I needed a Savior, that I needed somebody greater than myself because I'm a nobody. I'm glad that I profess Christ in my life. Not only did I profess it, but I try to live it every day and I try to do the right thing every day, and I try to be the better man every day, and I try to be a better pastor every day, and I try to be a better husband every day, and I try to be a better me every day. But if it's constantly me, I'm never going to get there. But it's when God made me a better husband, I became a better husband. When God made me a better pastor, I became a better pastor. When God made me a better man, I became a better man. Because He got rid of the old creature, He created the new creature. And guess what? He can create you new every day.
Amen.
Even if you rebuilt your wall of self, rebuilt that wall of self-security, and you may have rebuilt it, guess what? He can create you new all over again. That's how powerful God is. The problem is when you rebuild this wall of self-security, you get out and you don't want back in because you think that you're fine living the life that you're living. Judas thought that he was fine. Judas thought that he was great. But Judas never got back in. Thanks be to God that I got back in. That I got, my wall got knocked down. And I was able to get right. And I was able to do right. And I'm thankful for God that He made me who I am. And the only reason I am what I am is by His marvelous grace. And that's the only way that you are who you are today. Yeah. Brother Eddie, you sing beautifully. But if you, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for by the grace of God, you wouldn't have a voice for nothing. Brother Ken, you could play that guitar a whole lot better than me, but if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't play that thing for nothing. It'd be out of tune every time you picked it up. Cole, you got a beautiful voice, but I'm telling you, if you didn't sing and use it for the Lord, and you thought it was your self-security, He'd take it away from you like that right there, and He'd just pull it out, and you wouldn't be able to sing for nothing. We also have a faithful disciple, Peter. And one of the followers, God must have desired that we be careful about having a wall of self-security around us. But Peter and the rest were not as strong within themselves as they thought they were. We see that over in Matthew 14 that, man, Jesus said, who's going to go with me?
He said, by the end of the night, everybody's going to forsake me.
Peter said, Lord, I won't. He said, Lord, I'll go to prison with you. He said, Lord, I'll even go to death with you. He said, Lord, I'm not going to forsake you like all these other 10. One of them's not even there yet. We don't know where he's at. But these other ones, they might forsake you and take off running, but I'm not going to do that. I've told many people in my young ministry, don't ever say you won't forsake God when times get hard. Because you never know what's going to happen in your life. And you say, I'm stronger than that, Brother Josh. So was Peter. But Peter forsook Christ 3 times in one night. You say, I wouldn't do that. No. You better stop telling God what you won't do. You better stop letting Satan hear, I would never do that. You have found yourself behind the wall of self-security that you cannot get out of. Peter was boasting. He was saying, hey, I'm good. I would never, never forsake you. Christ looked at Peter behind his wall of self-security. He looked right through the bricks, Sister Amy. He looked right through them. And he said, by the end of the night, before the cock crows, you would deny me thrice. Peter probably sitting there thinking, you know me better than that. God, Jesus, you know I wouldn't do that. You know I love you. You know I want to be there for you. You know I mean when I said I'd go to prison with you and I would even die with you. You know I would. Jesus, why would you say that to me? If I was him, my ears would have perked up and be like, man, everything this man said to me so far has been truthful. Yeah. I got a feeling I'm about to hit hardship. But that perfect Christian that sits on a church pew does not exist.
That's right.
You find me one perfect Christian, I'll show you somebody else that can save you. We can't find one.
That's right.
There's only been one perfect man who, even himself, if you look at his life and his ministry, Jesus never had a wall of self-defense. He never had a wall that he would sit there and he would say, "This is my security. I can do this on my own." No, if you watch the life of Jesus and his prayers and his walk and his talk, it was never about what he could do for them, but what the Father could do for us all.
Amen.
Please, if you're one of those today that say, "I will never fail God," please get out from behind your wall of self, that wall of, that you have built beyond yourself of self-security. Because I promise you, even some of the big names that's traveled all over this world for the name of Christ, at one point in time, found themselves behind the wall of self-security. And they had to get Christ to get them out of it. I'm thankful Peter's story doesn't end with his denial. But when the cock crew, Peter's mind was remembering to what Christ would say. And next thing you know, here comes a face of love. Here comes a face of compassion. Here comes a face of mercy and a face of grace. They didn't look over at Peter with a, "Ha ha, I told you so." He didn't look over there and feel like, "Ah, I told you it was going to fail." How many of us had somebody actually look at us and be like, "Well, I knew you was going to fail." It's a horrible feeling, ain't it? Christ will never do that to you. He'll look at you with a face of love and compassion, full of grace and full of mercy. That when he does it, you'll weep out with bitterly tears. And you'll sit there and you'll think about all the good he's done to you and what he has told you. And you'll get out from behind your wall of self-security and you'll get behind the wall of the foundation of the chief cornerstone that says, "I'm going to build you up. I'm going to carry you on. I'm going to help you out. You don't even need yourself to get to where you're going. All that you do is need to trust me and do what I tell you to do." And you'll watch the wall come tumbling down. And you won't have to worry about it anymore. And you'll keep moving forward. And you'll keep doing the right things of God. You'll keep loving God. You'll keep caring for God. You'll keep doing the right things. But when you start building that wall of sin, when you start building that wall of self-security, when you start building that wall of self-righteousness, he said, "I'll be there for you, and I'll make it tumble again." I thank God that he made those walls come tumbling down. Alas, the church. The rich fool is an example of the unsaved. This man thought he was secure. His self-security was based on his abundance. He had presents and his possessions. His wall of self-security tumbled on that night. God said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee." You see, if you're not saved, these three walls, they still stand present in your life. The wall of sin is building high. The wall of self-righteousness so thick. The wall of self-security has been built around you. And one day your number will be called. It's appointed unto man to die once, and then after this the judgment. When your number is called, when your time is up here on this earth, as he told the rich man that had the possessions, he had all the money, he had his food, he had everything that he needed, and he thought he was okay. He thought just by obeying the law, he was good to go. But he was looked at. And he was said, "Thou fool, this night." I believe he died that night. Jesus said, "This night." Is that not what he said? "This night shall thy soul be required of thee." His walls tumbled down. But it wasn't right, but it wasn't for what he should have been turned down for. One day, everybody's walls will tumble down. They can tumble down here on earth. You can be saved. You're born again through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." The Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Bible tells us that, but God committed his love towards us, that and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. That he became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Did you know that the Bible tells us that there's no other way to heaven? There's only one door. There's only one path. There's only one gate. There's only one thing that you can do to get to heaven. There's only one thing you can do to get your walls tumbled down today. And there's nothing you can do on your own to do it. Has to be Jesus.
Amen.
It has to be Jesus. And as I said in the beginning of this message, if you would follow the instructions, you would be obedient, you would listen to what God tells you to do, that promise that He gives them in verse number 5 that was fulfilled in verse number 20. Can happen to you too.
Amen.
Let God conquer your heart this morning, your lives, by submitting to Him and His Word. By faith, the wall of sin will fall. By faith, the wall of self-righteousness will fall. By faith, the wall of security will fall. By faith, the wall of selfishness will fall. I didn't even get into that one. Y'all welcome. They will all come tumbling down. But it's by faith. We can't climb over them. We can't dig underneath them. But if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you'll watch the walls come tumbling down. If you'd like to come this morning, you can come.